Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning, we're going to look in Galatians chapter 5 for most of our morning. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn there because we're going to be there for a while. When I first started preparing for this morning's sermon, the entire sermon was on the two verses that Mr. Pierce so ably read. And then I backed up, and of course I was looking at those verses in context. And it occurred to me that maybe we needed to look at more than just those two verses. Some of you may have noticed that in 3 or 4 weeks we have an election. For those of you who haven't, in 3 or 4 weeks we do have an election. I want you to keep that somewhere in the back of your head as we're covering Galatians chapter 5 this morning. The whole chapter is worth a read. But we're going to start in verse 13. And I want all of us to understand that he is talking to Christians. He is talking, he being Paul here, is talking to family. Let's start in verse 13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. My brothers and sisters, that puts them on an equal setting, yes? Not as my children, as my brothers and sisters. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Now, the word flesh there is kind of an interesting word because it's not interpreted as your skin and bones. The flesh there is interpreted as a sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Several of you know that a group from this church, at least three of the brothers and two of the sisters that I know of, went and served yesterday doing hard manual labor. And it kind of fascinated me to see the photographs on Facebook, because I looked at the three men who went to go do that work. And I have no idea what any of them earn. But they're all at the peak of their career. And I doubt that any of us could have afforded that particular crew in terms of an hourly wage. But they didn't do it as an hourly crew. They went out because they loved their sister. Let's continue in verse 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. You will recognize that as part of what Jesus said were the two greatest commandments in the entire Bible. Love your neighbor as yourself. For if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And I guess as much as anything, it's verse 15 that just leapt out and grabbed me as I was looking for context. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. And you know what, brothers and sisters? We are not the enemy. Look around you. No, go ahead. Turn your heads. Look at the people who are sitting here. Those are your brothers and sisters. These are not people you are supposed to be fighting with. Who are you supposed to be fighting with? Believe it or not, we're told. It's in Ephesians. It's in chapter 12, verse 6. You can turn there, or you can just look up here. I got it for you. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Do you need a contest? Do you need a battle? That's where it is. Look back at verse 15 again. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. If we are destroying each other, whose work are we doing? That's right. For those of you who didn't hear her, she said, it's Satan's job. Yes, it is. in the United States, the single most costly war in terms of human life that we have ever fought was the Civil War. Authorities disagree on how many people actually died, but the number is somewhere between 620,000 people and 840,000 dead. That's World War II, World War I, and Vietnam combined, and you don't quite reach that number. Or you could combine all of the numbers from Vietnam through the Gulf War, and you still don't reach that number. Who was the worst enemy the United States ever had? It was us. And when Paul says in verse 15, if you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. He knew what he was talking about. But let's pick up in verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. By the way, if you are guilty of one point of the law, you are guilty of the whole law. If you are not under the law, what are you under? Grace, that grace that we need to share with our brothers and sisters. Verse 19, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality. One of my sisters posted a meme, she is not here this morning, but it said, ladies, if you are with the husband of another woman, God did not send him. And it struck me as fascinating that somebody felt the need to say that. But it's true. Impurity. Debauchery. Now, debauchery is one of those words that we read a couple of times in Scripture. But it says excessive indulgence in sensual pleasure. I'm just going to leave the definition to hang with you. Jealousy. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred. You're like, whoa, idolatry and witchcraft, those are kind of heavy hitters. But we're good with those for most of us. Hatred. We're like, okay, hatred is a pretty strong word. We learned that when we were young. And we try very hard not to do that. And then you get to that next word, which is a fascinating word, discord. Because discord covers everything from a minor disagreement to a knockdown drag out. Now, interestingly enough, I had two brothers growing up, and I loved them both. But do you know that I have never had a knockdown drag out with anybody but my brothers? And they were ugly. People say, oh, y'all was just playing, right? No. We're going for blood, and frequently there was blood. Broken glass, broken furniture, I mean, that was ugly. That's who he's talking to. Brothers and sisters. Factions. Remember that election we were talking about? And envy. Drunkenness. Orgies and the like, I warn you as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I read this piece and I thought, wow, he's talking to us. But keep reading, because he doesn't leave it with a negative. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Now, I don't want any hands, okay? But over the last 4 weeks, think about how many times you have experienced joy and peace. I'm friends with a lot of y'all on Facebook. And that peace thing seems to be hard to come by of late. Forbearance. Forbearance is another one of those interesting words. Because it means patient self-control, restraint, and tolerance. Restraint. You have a brother or sister who keeps posting things that just gets your goat. You know what? You don't have to comment on all of it. Now, forgive me for doing this from the pulpit, but I'm going to give you some technical assistance. In Facebook, if you have a friend that you do want to be able to talk to, but you don't want to see everything that annoys you about them, you can hide those people. And that means if they post to you, they can still post directly to you and privately. And you can post to them and privately, but you won't get everything they post. If you need to know how to do that, come see me after service. I'll tell you how. Brothers and sisters, you're laughing, but I have blood kin who over the last 2 weeks have unfriended each other altogether and have broken family ties because of these silly posts on Facebook. Kindness. Now that's an interesting word because sometimes to show kindness, we do things for people. And sometimes to show kindness, we don't do anything including open our mouths. Have you ever had a brother or sister who came to share good news with you? And you felt the need to tell them that somebody else's news was better? Why would you do that? Well, I'm just telling them the truth. You know what? There's a lot of truth that doesn't need to be shared either. Sometimes you rejoice when your brothers rejoice. They don't need to know everything else going on in somebody else's lives. Rejoice with them. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Sometimes self-control means you don't make that comment. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What is the Spirit doing? You just read them. The Spirit is producing love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you are in step with the Spirit, that's what you're producing. That's what it means to be in step with the Spirit. Can you do that? I dare say the answer is yes, or you wouldn't be told to do it. Can we do it all the time? My guess is probably not. But that just means we need to work on that whole self-control, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking. Now, you know what? When I read that as I was going through the whole context, go back up to the top. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Oh, my goodness. All our young people are gone, but there is nobody that will ever push your buttons quite like family will. I have found, now that I'm a father, that my son knows where they are. However, I have been a son, and I know where my parents are too. But you know what? One of the hilarious memes that I saw was the man on Facebook who had to set up dividers in his van between his children so they could not see each other or touch each other. And it just absolutely cracked me up. And I thought, yes, he solved a lot of immediate problems, but he didn't solve the long-term problem. They're still siblings. Brothers and sisters, yes, we will get on one another's nerves. That's what brothers and sisters do. But do you need to deliberately provoke folks? By the way, one of the definitions of provocation is irritating. I have watched my nieces and nephews, my little ones. We only had one son, so we got blessed. There's not a lot of provocation in our house. And you know what? He doesn't know it, but he got cursed because he doesn't have anybody to blame it on. If it happened in the house, he did it. It's not like he can, oh, I didn't do that. But irritating one another. You ever seen siblings? He touched me. He looked at me. I had two brothers. I know what it's like. Yes, I did that. I had it done to me. And yes, I had fights over it. Try not to provoke each other, brothers and sisters. I would like to throw this out, though. In Proverbs, verse 27, starting in verse 17, we are told that as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You ever heard the expression that if everybody in the room is agreeing with everybody, then you got a couple too many people in the room? It's good to hear differing opinions. It is not best that we all think alike. My brother, Gary Newton, is not here because he works a lot. That brother and I will probably never agree on politics. But I want you to know that I sit and listen to my brother Newton because he can tell you why he believes what he believes. And he can reason it out. And I know where he stands, and you know what? On Facebook, I don't say a thing to him about politics because I'm not going to provoke him. But you know what? He returns that courtesy. He doesn't provoke me either. We have our conversations in private. I go to his house and we talk politics, or he comes here and we talk politics. But I love him and I respect him because he is my brother. And I don't provoke him to anger. I don't provoke him to wrath because I love him because he is my brother. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. And you say, okay, we read most of Galatians 5. Do you have a point? Yes, and we already passed it. Let's go back to the beginning. Holy cow, something happened there. It says that from back in the first verse, or sorry, verse 14, it says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, that you love your neighbor as yourself. Brothers and sisters, the lesson is yours. But I believe that Paul was very much talking to who we are and where we are today. When that election is over, these people will still be your brothers and sisters. And we still will work together for a common cause. And that cause is to let the world know about Jesus Christ. And do you know that the world needs to look at us and see that we are different than the rest of the world? If you would like to know more about being different, if you would like the prayers of the congregation, or if you would like to know more about becoming a believer in Christ, you can do that as we stand together. And as we sing,
marvelous grace.